Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Well, hi everyone, Patricia Warby here, and today I want to talk to you about my latest project, my latest book, which I've just uploaded. Very excited about that, The Mystery of Number. And I want to talk to you why I've actually created a book that may seem a little outside my own field, but in fact, that's not true. I studied science at university, but I've always been very interested in the natural world, in natural sciences, in mathematics and the mathematics underlying nature. And I felt it was time to write a book for the non-mathematician, for people maybe like you who didn't get on with maths at school or maybe found it boring, which is such a shame because it's just not taught in the way it needs to be. You're not shown the meaning of number, that numbers are not just counting. They're not just a quantity. They have a quality too. And the quality actually teaches us more, I think, than simple counting. It shows us the relationships between things. And that's really what number is about. It's the language of the universe, which enables the universe to grow and expand. And I'm going to be sharing my screen to show you some examples, because I want you to understand that this is a book for non-geeks, for people who are not particularly mathematically proficient. I wanted to make it very visual, so I've taken a lot of time over the graphics, because I learn visually, and so do many people. I can see things much better if I can actually see them playing out. So that's what I've done. I'm going to start by sharing my screen, and I'm going to go to my pictures. Here they are. I'm going to start with something which is maybe familiar to some of you, which is called the Fibonacci sequence, right? Fibonacci was a 16th century mathematician, scientist, and he discovered this natural sequence which exists in nature, exists everywhere, and it starts very simply with zero and one. In his time, it actually started with one because zero wasn't considered, it wasn't even kind of thought of as a thing. But we now consider we start with zero and one. And to create the sequence, it's so simple. You just add the last two digits together. So here, zero and one is one. So the next digit is one. One and one is two. So that's the next digit. One and two is three. Two and three, five. Three and five, eight, and so on and so on and so on. And you may think, well, why is that significant? Well, maybe I need to show you what happens if you then plot that instead of in one dimension as a line of numbers. If you do it in two dimensions as a series of shapes, squares of the same dimensions. So if we have a square that's one in dimension, one unit, and then we add that to get to one to create a square of two units, and then we add the one and the two to create a square of three units, and so on. And you start to see this pattern developing with these numbers, which look maybe like a very significant shape if we actually draw a curve from one corner to the next corner and round and so on. It's an expanding spiral, and this is the Fibonacci spiral, which is something you probably have become aware of in nature. If you haven't, that's not your fault. It's probably down to the education you had. Like me, you were probably never shown. I learned most of this after school. I encountered it years ago when I was a designer, and the Fibonacci ratio, as it's also sometimes called, or the golden mean, is a very beautiful and stable pattern, because it enables spirals to develop without collapsing in on themselves or interfering, you know. And so it's the basis of flowers, broccoli here. We've got a fern unfolding here as well, a snail shell. This is a pine cone. This is a storm seen from above. This is a succulent plant that grows in this Fibonacci spiral, and this is a solar system, you know. So we see it in cosmology as well. So at scales large and small, these spirals exist because they are stable. And if we actually take the ratio of the one number to the next number, we find that we gradually approximate to the ratio 1.618, which is called the phi ratio, or this golden mean. And 1.618 is a fascinating number. It allows this unfolding growth, which is very space efficient. Nature is very efficient in its organization of growth in space. And so we see it everywhere. Why aren't we taught this? Why don't we start to teach our children to find mystery and magic in the world, and recreate this sense of awe that perhaps we had as very young children, which then gets completely lost when you go through the school system and numbers just become something to calculate and pass tests on. That's a real shame. Now, there's something else you can do with the Fibonacci spiral. You don't have to start at zero and one. You can start in other scales, because the universe exists in a set of scales. And actually, some of the scales relate to sound. And this is a musical scale, actually. 144, you could start at 144 cycles per second, which is measured in hertz. And that has a particular tone, which we can hear. The human range of hearing is from about 20 hertz to about 20,000 hertz. And there are sounds, of course, that are very much lower than that and very much higher than that we can't hear. But if we just start with 144, which is a tone that we can readily hear, it's quite low. And then we add those two together to 288, and we represent that as a tone. And then 432, which is 288 plus 144, 432 is a very interesting tone. It used to be the basis of the tuning standard, the A note. But in the 1930s, that was changed by pressure from the Rockefeller Institute. And we turned to 440, which actually has no correspondence in nature, whereas 432 absolutely does have a correspondence in nature, because it reflects the vibration of the planets of our solar system, the distances between, you know, various planets and the rotation of our planets. And so if we take this as a musical scale, the question is, that must surely have more relationship to the world we live in. And in fact, that is the case. And when you hear these tones played together, 432 hertz and 720, they make the most beautiful tonal combinations, because they are musically related. So this spiral that we see here is a concept which we can see visually, but we can also hear. And in fact, you could say that geometry is the sound that we see. Geometry relates to the way things are organized, but it can be in sound as well as in visual drawing. So why were we never taught that? Interesting. And here we've got some images which further illustrate that sound can have a pattern. And these are called cymatics. And cymatics are produced by vibrating a plate at a specific frequency and then taking photographs of what happens to water or sand or sometimes powder on the vibrating plate. And this third column shows you some of the cymatic patterns that are formed by playing a specific frequency to a plate. And they're very beautiful, and they have a symmetry, and they clearly have a ratio. Something is is patterning here. And what's interesting is the middle column is actually the corresponding pattern formed by our very own DNA. You know, the genetic code that lies at the heart of our cells and creates the proteins that make us function. Most people think of DNA as the double helix, and because it's frozen in time, you see it as this static sort of snake arrangement, you know, like a spiral that twists around itself. But we don't think of it as a vibrating molecule, and it actually is. When it's alive, it vibrates. It actually holds light. It has a frequency, and these are some of the patterns that it forms when you're able to see that, looking down through the molecule, so through the center, down horizontally, sorry, vertically. And the first column here is something that I find very interesting, is that maybe ancient people knew more than we think they did, because these patterns appear in church windows, in religious buildings, from, well, medieval period, when glass was first able to be produced. And so where did this knowledge come from? These patterns, these 12-fold symmetries, sometimes 20-fold, repeat over and over again in structures and buildings where you would assume people didn't have this kind of scientific knowledge. So where did they get this from? It's a very interesting question. And another interesting number which exists in nature is Euler's number, 2.718. And Euler's number is all about, it's another growth format, but it has a very interesting characteristic that the gradient, if you plot it, is the same as the number itself. So it increases at the same rate as the number. And also the area under the curve is also the same as the number. Now, there is no other number in the infinite array of numbers that has this characteristic. It is unique in the world, in our universe, for this stability, if you like, reliability of growth. And it's used actually in calculating compound interest as well. So it's not just and nature's use, we use it artificially as well to calculate things. But it's a very, very interesting number that it is totally and utterly unique. And if you think that, you know, there's an infinite number of numbers, but there's only one Euler's number, or E, that also I find really fascinating. And so what we find with growth generally, and here we're looking again at this Fibonacci sequence, is that it allows nature to have backups or memory, because instead of just doubling to grow, which would be an unsustainable way of growing, that's in fact what happens in cancer. You know, cancer cells double. It's unsustainable. This 1.618 enables certain elements of that number to be duplicated and a backup kept. And so there is a theory that it allows the universe to learn about itself as it's expanding and growing, and that the universe is not, as we are taught, this sort of vacuum of nothingness into which reality sits, you know, matter being the prime thing, actually consciousness, it seems, awareness of itself. You could say the universe itself is alive and learning and growing. And I go into this in a lot of detail in the book, because I think it's such an important concept that we're not in an unintelligent universe. We are part of universal learning, as I'll show in the book. Where we sit on the scale of things is right bang in the middle. So this is very vital understanding. And here's another picture of DNA, perhaps a little bit more familiar to you, looking at the double spiral, the double helix itself, but looking at the ratio of one loop to another, you'll actually see it's 0.618, which is a version of phi or the golden mean. So the periodicity, as it's called, the repetition of the loops, also relates to phi. That can't be a coincidence. There has to be a reason for that. And I go into a little bit of detail why that might be. And so this is a departure for me in some ways. The mystery of numbers is what I've called it, because I think numbers have a mystery to them, but that very few people understand. It was based on the knowledge I gained from the conversations I had with my colleague, Dr. Rainer V. Vega, and we did several conversations available on this YouTube channel, which I'll link in as well, that really opened my eyes to the relationship between the very small and the very large things in the universe, and that number is the language that ties them all together. It's the syntax, if you like, that builds the relationships between things, or between vibrations, actually, because there's no such thing as solidity. That's our perception, but it's all a vibration. And so I wanted to put that in layman's terms and make it accessible to people who are curious about the world, who want to know more, but don't want to have to go through vast numbers of formulae or equations or anything complex. And in fact, I've said in the introduction that as long as you can add, subtract, divide, and multiply, you will get this, because I've made nothing more complex than that. And although I've included some of the most beautiful patterns of complexity that I could find, and this, in fact, the cover is a Mandelbrot fractal. Fractals are self-repeating patterns. It's actually not difficult to understand if you can see it visually, and I think that's why I've spent such a lot of time gathering the images for this book. So there are over 100 images, which take you on a journey from the very basic things about numbers and counting, you know, why we use 6 and 12 system, or we used to. The decimal system took over more recently, but the origins of 6 and 12, if you think about hours and days and so on. There are 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour, and there are 12 feet in a foot, and so on, actually have very ancient origins. And so I take you from the ancient origins of that, and then I sort of take you on this journey through number to the final chapter talks. I'll do a separate video on that one about the interscalar nature of the world we live in and how we sit in the middle and therefore can communicate with both scales, the very small, the quantum world, and the very large, the kind of cosmological. So this book is a labor of love. It took me 3 months to write, but very much longer than that to research. And I'm very proud of it. And I find that so far the response has been great. So if you're interested, I'll put the link in to my Amazon page, and you're very welcome to sign up and buy the book. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye for now.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.